We are reminded that our total scripture was from the Gospel of Luke chapter 9, verse 28 through 36. But the focal point of our scripture is found in verses 33 through 35. Let us revisit those scriptures. This is what it says beginning at verse 33. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'd like for us to consider a subject for our text today: uncommon holy moments. Uncommon holy moments. Some time ago, there was a very interesting advertisement for chocolate chip cookies. The ad was interesting because it wasn't just an ad about this one company's cookies. It was interesting because the advertisement was throwing shade at the other cookie brands because of how ordinary they were compared to their cookies. They stressed the fact that their cookies were not just everyday ordinary cookies thrown together and then baked in an oven. Their cookies were extraordinary because they had been baked in an oven by little elves that lived in a tree. And when these cookies came out of that oven, they weren't just ordinary cookies. They weren't just good cookies. Those cookies that came out of their oven, they hailed as uncommonly good cookies. They pushed the idea that in a world of ordinary cookies, it's possible to experience an uncommonly good cookie. Now, if we're willing to open our minds past the imagery of cookies baked by little elves in a tree and make a connection between the difference between what is ordinary and the understanding of the gospel, I guess we could make an analogy of a similar nature about our biblical story today, our journey with God and our relationship with Christ. While we, from time to time, and more often than not, experience ordinary moments in our lives through prayer, we might come to realize that we experience uncommonly holy moments throughout our day. In fact, it's when we're invited to journey with Christ in something as ordinary as prayer that we have an opportunity to experience uncommonly holy moments in our lives. For those folks in our text, it was just an ordinary day. The three amigos of Jesus had been invited to accompany him up the mountain to pray. And we'll find that this wouldn't be the last time that Peter and James and John were asked to accompany him. According to Luke's account, Jesus had previously asked the disciples who were there, asking, "Who did people say that he was?" And they told him that some of them were saying that he was Elijah. Elijah, The scripture says that they were walking along, talking together. Suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. That's who Elijah was. A prophet who had not died, but who had been assumed into heaven by God. Some say that he was John the Baptist, whom, if they believed that to be true, would mean that John had been resurrected or reincarnated, since he had just a short time before been beheaded by Herod. The scripture says, Herod said, John I beheaded, but who is this about whom I hear such things? And he sought to see him. Others claimed that he was a reincarnated prophet from the past, probably Enoch, who is said not to have died, but to have walked away with God. It says, Enoch walked faithfully with God, then he was no more because God took him away. And if we question whether or not Enoch was a prophet, it says, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about them. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone. And so it is that at that time he asked Peter who Peter thought he was. And when Peter answered the Messiah, Jesus began to explain to them the importance of his journey and what he would be going through. He then asked them to consider the implications of following him, explaining to them the three qualities necessary to become his disciples. While Matthew and Mark's accounts say it was 6 days when it happened, Lucas set the time at about 8 days following his discourse, that they went up a high mountain to pray. There was Peter, the same Peter who days before openly revealed to Jesus that he believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Then there were the other two, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And it was there on this high mountain, as he was praying, that he was transfigured. His face changed from the flesh and blood of Jesus they were accustomed to seeing. His clothes changed to a radiant white, brighter than a flash of lightning, it says. It was there that the presence and the spirits of all seven persons were acknowledged. Yes, that's right, I said seven persons. We very often only think of Jesus and the three who went up the mountain with him, but in total, there were seven persons present. There was God. There was Jesus, our Emmanuel, our God with us, the chosen one. There was Moses and Elijah. And then there was Peter, James, and John. Jesus was the only one in human form able to experience both the human and the spiritual world at the same time. And it was his time. He went up the mountain to pray. A very common thing for Jesus to do. It was an opportunity for Jesus to touch bases with his God. But in this ordinary moment of time, the common act of prayer is transformed into an uncommonly holy moment. It's converted into a holy moment in which lives are changed. One person's conversation becomes senseless, and God speaks to give clarity to the ordinary and make it uncommonly holy. It was so holy that Peter began to speak without knowing what he was saying. It was so uncommonly holy that those who were born of the flesh were enveloped in a cloud and able to hear God speak to them. It was so uncommonly holy that once again, since the baptism of Christ, God affirmed to those who could experience the uncommonly holy moment that Jesus was the chosen one. And more importantly, he should be listened to. It would be ordinary if our story stopped there. But God invites us to experience in our lives an uncommonly holy moment if we're willing to hear the word of God in our time. You see, brothers and sisters, God with Christ invites us to that high place where we together can pray to God and experience an uncommonly holy moment. I know we don't often consider our prayer time as a trip up a high mountain or to a high place for that matter. Many of us pray kneeling by our bedside or sitting in a chair, humbly bowed at the dinner table. Or we go into those closets of our own making to be alone with Christ and God and pray. And yet each time we pray, whatever our posture, whatever our position, wherever our location is, it becomes a high place and an opportunity for us to experience an uncommonly holy moment. It might happen when we're reading scripture and God says, "Listen to Jesus." And Christ reveals a new understanding of his word to us. It may happen upon our waking up when we don't know what we're saying. I'm reminded of the story of the guy who said he got a phone call, and it was a very important phone call, but he was asleep. And when he got the call and he answered the phone, they made a very conscious demand of him. And he said, "As soon as I get the alligators out of my closet." Sometimes when we're waking up, we don't know what we're saying. But at the same time, God can speak to us, making our moment an uncommonly holy moment. Because as odd as it sounds, we hear God speaking to us. It may happen as it did to Paul when he told of his uncommonly holy moment. When Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up in the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter." And this isn't new or out of the ordinary for God. God's reputation throughout history is filled with stories of people who've ascended to a high place and experienced uncommonly holy moments in their lives. Abraham and the burning bush, Moses on Mount Sinai, Joshua fitting the Battle of Jericho, Deborah and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, and Daniel in the lion's den all had ordinary days in which God intervened and made that one moment of intervention, an uncommonly holy moment. And how can we forget Zechariah and Elizabeth, or Mary and Joseph, or Simeon and the shepherds in the field, and the three wise men when God stepped in, intervened, and converted their ordinary moments into uncommonly holy moments in their lives. I could even tell personal stories when God intervened in what began as an ordinary day for me and transformed it by the power and spirit of God through prayer, allowing me to experience an uncommonly holy moment. And on each occasion, it was as if God had taken us up to a high place and spoken to us, allowing us to experience those uncommonly holy moments. But then that's what God and Christ do. They invite us to that high place where we together can pray to God and experience uncommonly holy moments in our lives. And if we're honest, anytime we enter into conversation with God, it becomes an uncommonly holy moment. Sometimes God speaks to us through a song that is sung. And sometimes God speaks to us through a word of scripture being read. And sometimes God speaks to us through our own experience, making them all uncommonly holy moments. And how could they not be when we find ourselves in the presence of the living God, if only through prayer? When we're reading scripture and God reveals something new, even though we've read that particular scripture 100 times, is not that an uncommonly holy moment? A time when God raised us up out of the ordinary times of our lives and allowed us to experience that which is truly an uncommonly holy moment. Or perhaps a song is sung, a song that reaches deep down in our spirits because of the melody, the words, or the raw emotion that the song dredges up inside of us. Isn't that God lifting us up in holy conversation? You know what they say. A person who sings a song prays twice. Doesn't that push the song and the music and the person experiencing it into an uncommonly holy experience, a conversation with God that no one can understand? And how could it not be when our conversation with God is about God's business and what will eventually come to pass? For Jesus, it was a trip up the mountain to pray. Perhaps he always heard his heavenly Father speak to him. Perhaps he always crossed over into the heavenly realm when he went up the mountains alone to pray, but not this day. This day he took company. This day he opened up what was an ordinary prayer excursion to three of his disciples, and they saw Jesus in a way they had never seen him before and experienced God for themselves in a way that they had never experienced God before. They saw people, holy and esteemed people who had died years before they were born, talking with Jesus side by side. And what was Peter to make of it? What was he to think? I mean, it's one thing to say in one way that Jesus is the Messiah one moment, but to see him in his glory 8 days later, what else could that be but an uncommonly holy moment for all of them? It was a time when they were all involved in a time of conversation with God, whether they knew what they were saying or not. And if we're honest, anytime we enter into holy conversation with God, it becomes an uncommonly holy moment. But tragically, sometimes we don't recognize what we're saying because we're half asleep. We become mesmerized by God's willingness to allow us to experience something truly uncommonly holy that we don't know what we're saying, even after we've said it. We don't pay attention to what God is doing, and so we miss the high moments which come out of the ordinary things like prayer. We're half asleep because we're waiting on the spectacular while we're right in the middle of the spectacular, experiencing God's awesome presence in our lives. We hope that we can see or experience something as exciting and miraculous as the deaf being able to hear, or the dumb being able to speak, or the lame being able to leap for joy. And yet it's in the midst of something as ordinary as prayer that the glory of Christ is revealed, and we find ourselves unable and unaware of those uncommonly holy moments. I know what I'm talking about, brothers and sisters. I can remember when I was experiencing one of my uncommonly holy moments and God was calling me into the ministry. I must have been half asleep, unaware of the uncommonly holy moment I was experiencing, because I had the nerve and the boldness and the audacity to try to negotiate a settlement with God. While Peter wanted to stop the show to build three tents to honor Jesus, Elijah, and Moses, I decided to ignore the uncommonly holy moment in my life and an opportunity to listen to Christ and offer God a gift of music, a gift that God had given me that God didn't ask for. Clearly, like Peter, I didn't know what I was saying. And it wasn't until I listened to Christ that my uncommonly holy moment transitioned into an uncommonly spiritual relationship with Christ, where I now listen more intently for the sound of God's voice speaking to me. And when God speaks to me, it becomes clear to me that each day is an opportunity to experience an uncommonly holy moment. When God and Christ speak, and prayer becomes the vehicle by which I'm able to speak with God, and God speaks to me. You see, brothers and sisters, it's not really until we're fully awake to what God has done and is doing that we really begin to hear what God is saying to us. Because it's in that moment of clarity that God reveals to us the true nature of Jesus and gives us instructions about what to do when Jesus speaks. That's when we discover that making a monument to our uncommonly holy moment is less important than hearing the word of Christ. That's when we recognize and better understand that listening to Christ is more important than any offer we can make to appease God. And what God has done is enough to fully awaken us to an action to honor Jesus, even if what we offer to honor him is impulsive. It's likely that when we seek to please Jesus without hearing him, we're not really aware of what we're saying. I guess the lesson here is that a plan to do something for Jesus without first listening to him is a plan that is destined to fail. That's when we realize that any plan that is born of our desire to give Jesus what we want Jesus to have, rather than to listen to Jesus and hear what he wants from us, is a plan headed for failure and disaster. And a desire to honor Jesus, quite frankly, that isn't well thought out, if it is impulsive, and one of those thoughts that flies off the top of our head without careful planning, tends to be less important to God than listening to what Jesus has to say. And yet there are times when God interrupts the senselessness of our conversation and invites us to listen to Jesus. And it's at those times that our ordinary prayer becomes an uncommonly holy moment. It's through the ordinary holiness of our hearing Christ that what began as an ordinary journey with Jesus to pray by the power of God's grace can become an uncommonly holy moment. It happens in something as simple and as ordinary as daily prayer, listening to Jesus and what the glory of God in Christ reveals to us. So while we may search in our lives for the spectacular, looking for the Jesus of miracles that heals the lame and makes the deaf hear and the lame speak, we know that within them, the presence of God is affirming the relationship of God to Christ and converting our ordinary times of prayer into uncommonly holy moments where the glory of God is revealed and the glory of Christ can be experienced in his word. When we look for God and listen to Christ on plain old ordinary days, we'll eventually discover that every day when we pray has the potential to provide us with an uncommonly holy moment, a moment in which we can, like the psalmist, shout aloud, "This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." It's in this, what we might call a very ordinary day, that we, like Peter and James and John, may experience an uncommonly holy moment in which we experience the Christ in his glory, are invited by God to disregard our desire to do something to make a tribute to our experience, and do nothing more than hear the voice of God inviting us to listen to Jesus. And then faithfully listen to Christ. Because it's when we do those things that our days have the greatest opportunity to be filled with uncommonly holy moments. Moments in which we are invited into the presence of God and Christ to speak to us. And that's the word of God for the people of God.